The Synthesis of Yoga, Part 1, page 158, Yoga of Divine Works, Chapter 6, Ascent of the Sacrifice to the Works of Love, the Works of Life. It is therefore through the sacrifice of love, works, and knowledge, with the psychic being as the leader and priest of the sacrifice, that life itself can be transformed into its own true spiritual figure. If the sacrifice of knowledge, rightly done, is easily the largest and purest offering we can bring to the highest, the sacrifice of love is not less demanded of us for our spiritual perfection. It is even more intense and rich in its singleness, and can be made not less vast and pure. This pure wideness is brought into the intensity of the sacrifice of love when into all our activities there is poured the spirit and power of a divine infinite joy, and the whole atmosphere of our life is suffused with an engrossing adoration of the One who is the All and the Highest. For then does the sacrifice of love attain its utter perfection when offered to the divine all. It becomes integral, catholic, and boundless. And when uplifted to the supreme, it ceases to be the weak, superficial, and transient movement men call love, and becomes a pure and grand and deep uniting ananda. Although it is a divine love for the supreme, and universal divine that must be the rule of our spiritual existence, this does not exclude altogether all forms of individual love or the ties that draw soul to soul in manifested existence. A psychic change is demanded, a divestiture of the masks of the ignorance, a purification of the egoistic mental, vital, and physical movements that prolong the old inferior consciousness. Each movement of love, spiritualized, must depend no longer on mental preference, vital passion, or physical craving, but on the recognition of soul by soul. Love, restored to its fundamental spiritual and psychic essence with the mind, the vital, the physical, as manifesting instruments and elements of that greater oneness. In this change, the individual love also is converted by a natural heightening into a divine love for the divine inhabitant immanent in a mind and soul and body occupied by the One in all creatures. All love, indeed, that is adoration, has a spiritual force behind it, and even when it is offered ignorantly and to a limited object, something of that splendor appears through the poverty of the rite and the smallness of its issues. For love, that is worship, is at once an aspiration and a preparation. It can bring, even within its small limits in the ignorance, a glimpse of a still more or less blind and partial, but surprising realization. For there are moments when it is not we, but the One who loves, and is loved in us. And even a human passion can be uplifted and glorified by a slight glimpse of this infinite love and lover. It is for this reason that the worship of the God, the worship of the idol, the human magnet or ideal are not to be despised, for these are steps through which the human race moves towards that blissful passion and ecstasy of the infinite, which, even in limiting it, they yet represent for our imperfect vision when we have still to use the inferior steps nature has hewn for our feet and admit the stages of our progress. Certain idolatries are indispensable for the development of our emotional being, nor will the man who knows be hasty at any time to shatter the image, unless he can replace it in the heart of the worshipper by the reality it figures. Moreover, they have this power, because there is always something in them that is greater than their forms, and even when we reach the supreme worship, that abides and becomes a prolongation of it or a part of its Catholic wholeness. Our knowledge is still imperfect in us, love incomplete if even when we know that which surpasses all forms and manifestations, we cannot still accept the divine in creature and object, in man, in the kind, in the animal, in the tree, in the flower, in the work of our hands, in the nature force which is then no longer to us the blind action of a material machinery, but a face and power of the universal Shakti. For in these things too is the presence of the eternal. An ultimate inexpressible adoration offered by us to the transcendent, to the highest, Param Bhavan, to the ineffable, is yet no complete worship if it is not offered to him wherever he manifests or wherever even he hides his Godhead, in man, Manushim Tanum Ashritani, and object, and every creature. An ignorance is there, no doubt, which imprisons the heart, distorts its feelings, obscures the significance of its offering. All partial worship, all religion, which erects a mental or a physical idol, is tempted to veil and protect the truth in it by a certain cloak of ignorance, and easily loses the truth in its image. But the pride of exclusive knowledge is also a limitation and a barrier. For there is, concealed behind individual love, obscured by its ignorant human figure, a mystery which the mind cannot seize, the mystery of the body of the divine, the secret of a mystic form of the infinite, which we can approach only through the ecstasy of the heart and the passion of the pure and sublimated sense, and its attraction, which is the call of the divine flute player. The mastering compulsion of the all-beautiful can only be seized and seize us through an occult love and yearning, which in the end makes one the form and the formless, and identifies spirit and matter. It is that which the spirit in love is seeking here in the darkness of the ignorance, and it is that which it finds when individual human love is changed into the love of the immanent divine incarnate in the material universe. As with individual, so with universal love. All that widening of the self through sympathy, goodwill, universal benevolence and beneficence, love of mankind, love of creatures, the attractor of all the myriad forms and presences that surround us, by which mentally and emotionally man escapes from the first limits of his ego, has to be taken up into a unifying divine love for the universal divine. Adoration fulfilled in love, love in Ananda, the surpassing love, the self-wrapped ecstasy of transcendent delight in the transcendent, which awaits us at the end of the path of devotion, has for its wider result a universal love for all beings. The Ananda of all that is, we perceive behind every veil the divine. Spiritually embrace in all forms the all-beautiful. A universal delight in his endless manifestation flows through us, and taking in its surge every form and movement, but not bound or stationary in any way, and always reaching out to a greater and more perfect expression. This universal love is liberative and dynamic for transformation. For the discord of forms and appearances ceases to affect the heart that has felt the one truth behind them all and understood their perfect significance. The impartial equality of soul of the selfless worker and knower is transformed by the magic touch of divine love into an all-embracing ecstasy and million-bodied beatitude. All things become bodies, and all movements the playings of the divine beloved in his infinite house of pleasure. Even pain is changed, and in their reaction, and even in their essence, things painful alter. The forms of pain fall away. There are created in their place the forms of Ananda. This is, in its essence, the nature of the change of consciousness, which turns existence itself into a glorified field of a divine love and Ananda. In its essence, it begins for the seeker when he passes from the ordinary to the spiritual level and looks with a new heart of luminous vision and feeling on the world and self and others. It reaches its height when the spiritual becomes also the supramental level. And then also it is possible not only to feel it in essence, but realize it dynamically as a power for the transformation of the whole inner life and the whole outer existence. It is not altogether difficult for the mind to envisage, even though it may be difficult for the human will, with its many earth ties, to accept this transformation of the spirit and nature of love from the character of a mixed and limited human emotion to a supreme and all-embracing divine passion. It is when we come to the works of love that a certain perplexity is likely to intervene. It is possible, as in a certain high exaggeration of the path of knowledge, to cut here also the knot of the problem, escape the difficulty of uniting the spirit of love with the crudities of the world action by avoiding it. It is open to us, withdrawing from outward life and action altogether, to live alone with our adoration of the divine in the heart's silence. It is possible, too, to admit only those acts that are either in themselves an expression of love for the divine, prayer, praise, symbolic acts of worship, or subordinate activities that may be attached to these things and partake of their spirit, and to leave aside all else. The soul turns away to satisfy its inner longing in the absorbed or the God-centered life of the saint and devotee. It is possible, again, to open the doors of life more largely and to spend one's love of the divine in acts of service to those around us and to the race. One can do the works of philanthropy, benevolence and beneficence, charity and succor to man and beast and every creature, transfigure them by a kind of spiritual passion. At least, bring into their merely ethical appearance the greater power of a spiritual motive. This is, indeed, the solution most commonly favored by the religious mind of today, and we see it confidently advanced on all sides as the proper field of action of the God-seeker, or of the man whose life is founded on divine love and knowledge. But the integral yoga, pushed towards a completer union of the divine with the earth life, cannot stop short in this narrow province or limit this union within the lesser dimensions of an ethical rule of philanthropy and beneficence. All action must be made in it part of the God life. Our acts of knowledge, our acts of power and production and creation, our acts of joy and beauty and the soul's pleasure, our acts of will and endeavor and struggle, And not only are acts only of love and beneficent service. Its way to do these things will be not outward and mental, but inward and spiritual. And to that end, it will bring into all activities, whatever they are, the spirit of divine love, the spirit of adoration and worship, the spirit of happiness in the divine and in the beauty of the divine, so as to make all life a sacrifice of the works of the soul's love to the divine, its cult of the master of its existence. End of page 162.